I know it's 12 minutes or it's free, but I'm thinking some of y'all aren't going to make it. I thought about making a deal where I would do it 10 minutes and then add a minute for everybody that fell asleep. But I know once the dominoes start falling, it could be something I'm not willing to pay the penalty for. So I'm going to go 12 minutes or it's free. And I haven't been paid yet, so y'all are in much better shape than most Fifth Sundays. Good to have our visitors here. It's good to see the Morgan family and all the in-laws. Just good to have the ones we've had. It was great to have Lance here with Grace this morning and just with everybody. You're always so faithful to be here, and it's just good to see you. I want to put this in as kind of a possible way as possible for what we're going through in society right now. We have obligations to turn the other cheek. We have obligation, privilege, to love one another as we love ourselves. And part of that is having courtesy and kindness and compassion towards other people. And it's important that we be polite. But I've noticed something in the church, nationwide, worldwide, that we have taken that proper perspective, and we've almost turned it into something where if we disagree with somebody, that's impolite and that's not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We are under attack right now, worldwide, but in America, it's ridiculous. I saw Target, place I used to love to go to, had a line of children's wear for what they call transgender. The only way you can turn a child into something that they are not is if you have sinful parents. Or parents that are ignorant of the scriptures. Some of the tags that they have are by a brand that is by a Satanist. And on the tag it says, Satan uses the proper pronouns. They're a major retailer in what used to be a predominantly Christian nation, I suspect we still are, is marketing Satan, marketing sin with Satan. And they're certainly not the only ones. It's coming at us from all sorts of directions. Not our local school, but very close by schools are taking a stand against anybody who would say that sin is sin. Children are being punished for saying that sin is sin, not going along with sin being great. And I think we're asleep at the wheel. We don't want to be impolite, and so we put up with it. The best example I can think of when enough is enough in my own life was when our family, when our kids were little, we went to the zoo in Denver, and somebody from Wyoming said, "You got to watch it. There's a group of environmentalists there that are in a uniform and they're writing tickets to people, and they're not real officers. They're not real law enforcement agents." But they'll write you a ticket and you have to pay the fine, and it's just for the environmental cause. Whatever the environment, I think back then it was global cooling. That's been how far back it was. And it was so that just kind of outraged me. And we went to the zoo and we didn't have Garmin back there, and I didn't have very good capacity for asking for directions. So by the time we got to the zoo in Denver, our kids were so car sick, they were sick, and I wasn't in the best of moods. And so we got out of the car, and we got the strollers out, or the stroller out, and we were heading off, and Carolyn remembered we forgot the camera, and I was so proud. proud that we had missed the environmental people. And it's like, oh, no. And so I went back into the trunk real quick, like I needed to avoid them. And I opened the trunk, and sure enough, here comes some little guy. Sir, sir. And I turned around, and I looked at him, and I said, I don't even want to talk to you. That probably wasn't the best Christian thing to do. But I don't like to be defrauded. And you know what he did? He turned around and he went to somebody else or just got out of the way. My point is not to be rude or impolite. My point is that when wickedness comes up to us, we have every right to say, get out of my face. You can do it politely, but you need to do it firmly. I'm not going along with your game. I'm not going along with your sin. Go somewhere else. But if we get too carried away with it, it's going to be like I was that day in Denver where it just gets my last nerve and I snap and I do the wrong thing. We're fretting too much. We have every right to tell people who are sinning, I don't support that. I know what the Bible says about this. I know what God says about this. And I am in agreement with Him. If you're in disagreement, we have no common ground to stand on. Go somewhere else. Don't bother me, and I won't bother you. Don't bother my children or my grandchildren, or I will bother you. But stay, just go your way. But don't be promoting your sin. But having said that, we don't need to fret about it. Psalms 37 is one of the best psalms as far as how do we deal with a wicked world. Or how do you deal with problems in general? But I just wanted to kind of look at it from the perspective of this open wickedness that is, it's beyond anything I've seen in my lifetime. And I'm getting older to where my lifetime is starting to span some years. Here's what David said. Verse 1, Psalms 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. They'll soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only towards evil. Fret not yourself, he says over and over. Through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David is giving us the Word of God. Fret not yourself, because it tends to evil. So what happens when we get so fed up with wicked people that we snap? And the answer is we become just as wicked as they are. Again, there is nothing wrong with telling somebody who's bringing their wickedness into your face to back off, to go somewhere else. There's nothing wrong. Remember what Jesus said? Get behind me, Satan. That works for Satan's children just as well. If Jesus could do that to Satan, and I realize the power of Jesus, but if Jesus could do that to Satan, can we not do it to Satan's children? To just tell them, just go away. Don't bring this into my school. Don't bring this into my community. Don't bring this into where I'm at. And if you have it in your store, do what you want. I just won't come into your store. I will keep my righteousness away from you if you want me to, but you keep your wickedness away from me. But we don't have to fret about it. You just have to stand. We were talking about it at the men's breakfast a few weeks ago. Men, this is important for us. If you're afraid of a man in a bathing suit, there's a very good chance you're not much of a man. Now, I don't mean to say that if I see a man coming at me in a bathing suit, that that's not going to make me take a step back. But I just want to say, We can take righteous stands without becoming evil ourselves. It's the fretting, it's the gnawing about it. It's just, of course this is wicked. We do need enough discussion about it to where we let people know who don't know what wickedness is. We've got to raise our children to know what wickedness is. They have to understand that when somebody at school comes up and they identify themselves as something that God says you must not identify yourself at, that they have every right to say, well, that's wrong. I don't want to be around you. If they get sent to the principal, that's fine. Then you go take care of it as a parent. But make sure you take care of it in a godly way, but support a righteous stand. Don't support unrighteous behavior. We're not talking about that. But there does come a point where we have to refrain from anger, forsake wrath, fret not ourselves because it leads to evil. Because verse 9 says, the evildoer will be cut off. Those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. God's serious about that. The righteous are going to win. Here's the other side of it in the final minute that I have to speak. It's self-proclaimed, I realize, but I like that. We should have enough love for people who are involved in sin to at least try and help them. To try and just say respectfully, You're opposed to what the Scripture says. Would you be interested in looking what the Scripture? No? Okay. If you ever change your mind, let me know. And let people know, I don't hate you, but you can't bring your sin around me. I don't want your sin in my presence. I sure don't want it in the presence of the innocent. But we can do it in a kind enough way, and then we can be praying for them, even if it's secretly. I have a family member that I love dearly. I pray for every day that they will come out of the wickedness they are in. They are openly wicked. And I pray every day. We don't hate them. We love them. But we have to take a stand. Verse 20, the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. We should be serious enough about that to know that the wicked are going to be cut off, and we don't want them to remain in their wickedness so that they're cut off. But we have to take a stand. We have to be righteous, and we have to protect the innocent. Invitation's open. If you need to respond, please do while we stand and sing.